Hello, and welcome to Games That Suck, a gaming retrospective in the Shay Hates Everything podcast family. My name's Kyle, I'll be your host today, and I am, of course, joined by my brother Shay. Welcome, Shay.
Hello, I'm also in the family.
Yes, we're the literal family of family podcasts for families. Games That Suck is a series where we look back at some of gaming's lowest lows. Each episode, we focus on a particular year in gaming, arguing about what the bottom three games of each year should be, the games that suck the most. And this month, we're investigating and debating the worst games of 1996. Oh,
yes,
what a year.
Ironically, I feel like this isn't that bad of a year.
It's not. Like, it's an incredible year for video games. Like, because we go through the entire Wikipedia list for game releases in 96. Obviously, like, ferreting out North American releases, just for our sort of classification. There are so many good games in 96.
Yeah.
So many incredible games. We really had to... I feel like we were really separating the chaff from the wheat.
We did the 1995, right? Which everyone should go listen to if you haven't.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a pretty hefty list of bad video games.
Yeah.
I could only think of like three or four from 96 before I scrolled through Wikipedia. Like, it just speaks to the fact that bad games weren't as bad, and there wasn't the quantity of bad games that I expected going back to the 90s. Look, I'm sure there's plenty of garbage that, like, I've just never heard of before and wouldn't know to look up.
Right.
But at least when I was trying to think of things, there were far fewer than I could think of for 1995.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in the same boat. There were definitely a couple of standouts for me, but as I was scrolling through the list, I was like, oh, right, that exists. Oh, fuck that game. And we're going to talk about those phenomenons right now. So this is in no particular order. We have 11 games that we've pulled out from this list that we want to talk about. We're going to talk about each one in detail about why they suck and in what ways. And then we'll come up with a short list and then hammer that short list down into a mold of three games. And those three games are always really bad. So
really, really bad.
Really bad.
I'm refreshing my memory. In 1995, the three games were Frankenstein Through the Eyes of the Monster.
Correct.
Which was just a horrible FMV game starring Tim Curry. Number two was Batman Forever, which was an atrociously bad... It was a port, right?
Deservedly...
Yeah, just a bad movie tie-in game.
Yeah.
And then number one was a game that I at least had no memory of, and I'm so glad that you brought it, which was Wild Woody, which is I was about to say vaguely racist, but not even vaguely.
It was, yeah.
Racist. Like, oh boy. game seems terrible.
Wild Woody. Don't play it. If there's a takeaway from these podcasts, don't play these.
That's true. Don't play these.
We're just trying to save you time and money, the listener. This is an economic service, community service that we're doing. So, Shay, this first one you put on here, and
yes.
I am very curious. We talked about the predecessor.
Yes.
For Games That Suck 1995. So why don't you tell us what this one is?
Yes. So on this list... is Phantasmagoria, A Puzzle of Flesh. This was put out by Sierra Online. This does not have a Metacritic, so we try to talk through the Metacritic just for context as we kind of rank things. But in fairness, a lot of these games don't have Metacritic because
they're so old.
Game rankings was absorbed by Metacritic, and they didn't go back and like transfer a lot of reviews. So for a lot of these, we're using a game rankings score. So the game rankings average is 55.8, and that's out of 100.
Yep. GameSpot it's not out of 60. It's out of 100.
GameSpot gave it a 3.7, which is out of 10. So we talked about Phantasmagoria on the 1995 episode. That game sort of had a mixed reception. I feel like a lot of people appreciated them going for it. Like, there was a lot of over-the-top sexualization.
Yeah.
And body horror, gore, and it, you know, it's an FMV sort of adventure game.
Yeah, so a lot of it was adventure like game bad is, practical effects kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, I mean, it was in 95, but it has a very, like, 80s B-movie, B-horror movie vibe to it. And the following year, they released a sequel, Phantasmagoria: Puzzle of Flesh. And the biggest thing to say about this game is that it's just a worse version of the first game. By and large, like, even people that enjoyed the first one were like, more of this? Really? Already? And it's like, it looks worse. There's less creativity. Like, it feels like something that was rushed out to capitalize on the success of the first game.
Right.
Which is literally what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell. The puzzles in the first game were just odd and very straightforward. That continues here, but they're even more just, like, nonsensical. And, like, it's weird to say that they're nonsensical and easy, but that is the case. Like, the solutions don't make sense, but they're obvious because the game is very heavily leading you into that direction. It just doesn't, like, if the game wasn't leading you in the direction of the solution, you wouldn't know what it was because it was so random.
Sure.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This game was also, as I was doing research for this game was, like, super heavily censored across the world, including the United States. Like, there were censored pieces of it. It was banned in many countries, which even more so than in the first game. So, yeah, it sucks. The only thing I'll say to this game's advantage compared to the original Phantasmagoria is that I did not play this second game. So it's harder for
it's
me
to... It's
got
a leg up.
Yeah, it doesn't have the passion. I don't have the passion for hatred for A Puzzle of Flesh that I had for the original Phantasmagoria. But by no means is that a pass or me saying that it should get cut immediately, because this game fucking sucks. And I think that we should keep it for now and then have the conversation as we get deeper. That's my pitch for Phantasmagoria. Also, like, what? Come on, man. Really? It's 1996. We have not run out of names yet.
Right.
And you're going to call your game Phantasmagoria?
Like,
who's going to Google that?
And also, 1996. I think the proximity to the first, it came out a year later.
Yes.
That's insane and unhinged. I mean, like, games were able to be made much faster back in the day, like
but this was FMV.
But yeah, but like, it was like they had to shoot it and do all the like to cast it and all this other stuff, and then yeah. Also program everything, do all the art assets in a year. Like, that doesn't fill me with confidence.
Yeah. Oy. And like it's much easier to film like an FMV hardly interactive like adventure game, essentially like click text-based puzzle solving, than it is many, like, this was the era of 3D, right? Like, this was as we were transitioning to 3D with the launch of the PlayStation 1 in the mid-90s. This game had zero of that type of ambition, but the point, like, writing a script for essentially a several hour long movie, that should take a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
It did not, because they released this game a year later, and it shows.
Right. So Phantasmagoria, A Puzzle of Flesh, will remain on the list for now.
Yes.
The next one is just the a next real one, the pile next, of shit.
There is no way this game doesn't make our top three. I'm just going to spoil it.
Yeah.
This game that we're talking about is Bubsy 3D. Look, if you're old like us, which more like me, Kyle's, are you 31 now?
I'm 31 and almost Kyle's, 32.
Almost 32. I'm almost 36. You're reaching old man age. I'm definitely into old man age in a modern video game context.
Right.
But point being, if you are nearing old age like us, you know Bubsy 3D. We don't need to tell you about Bubsy 3D. This is widely considered one of the worst games ever made. Some of which isn't the game's fault, right? Like, look, next month, in mid-March, we're going to release our games that don't suck for 1996. Hey, spoiler alert, one of those games is probably going to be Super Mario 64, which came out in the same year as Bubsy 3D.
Same year!
They're very similar structured games. That is unfair to Bubsy 3D for one of the greatest games ever made to come out alongside it. A sad history lesson of Bubsy 3D. So look, fucking Bubsy, right? Am I right, guys?
Fucking Bubsy. Bubsy.
Fucking Bubsy.
What could possibly go wrong?
Shoot me in the face.
The first game had its charms for being an early 90s attitude era cringe fest.
Yeah.
And then, so the original creator of Bubsy, after that first game he left, they put out multiple other games that were poorly received. They brought that original creator back to bring Bubsy into 3D.
Yeah, we've got to bring the person who birthed this monstrosity amongst us back into the equation.
Yeah. So they put a lot of passion into this. Well, I should say the attempt was to put a lot of passion into this. The problem is they did not know how to make a 3D game.
Right.
Just like most people in this era didn't know how to make a 3D game.
It was all a crapshoot.
Unfortunately, other people executed it like way, way better than Bubsy 3D did. Look, you can go on YouTube and just search for Bubsy 3D voice acting, and there are a couple of good clips. It's some of the worst voice acting I've ever heard in a game. It's, you can like hear, like, look, I've got a pop filter on my microphone, but if I give it a really heavy plosive, it still breaks through, right? Like, you can hear the cracking of the microphone. That's like the entire thing. In this video game, like, that professionals made.
Right.
And it sounds really, really bad. Yeah. It also looks really, really bad.
Terrible. It's like a bunch of placeholder art assets. Like polygons that are just a different color on each side. It's a lot of, like, unfinished-looking shit like that.
It's very empty. And again, because of the simplistic...
The draw distance is, like, super tight, and the levels can be a little sprawling. And they tend to be very vertical as well.
And the camera doesn't support
that very well.
Yes. The levels did not need to be big for the amount of things and variety that they have to put in the levels.
No.
It, of course, also has underwater levels, which are beyond bad.
It has boss fights, which you can imagine how well those went over.
Yes. So this game is horrendous. The last thing I'll say about it in the theme of voice acting, which I guess I didn't say. So this one in game rankings has a 50.9. GameSpot gave it a 5.5 out of 10. And in the GameSpot review, they say, "Thank God the programmers included the option to turn off the sound bites Bubsy spews during the game. After having to endure that lispy grating voice two or three times, the player may be tempted to kill his or her television." So
a fun fact about this game. Giant Bomb recently, I'm dating the podcast here, Giant Bomb recently started doing a thing called Blight Club in the past year or so, and one of the first games they played on Blight Club was Bubsy 3D. And
of course.
The point of Blight Club is we play the worst games of all time, and we have to beat them. And each person gets assigned a game that they have to play. Jeff Grubb had to play Bubsy 3D. It was a horrible experience. The voice work was, like, driving him absolutely insane. He was losing his fucking mind. Turns out... Dan Reichert, the universe's, like, the one human being that the universe seems to revolve around, was apparently, years ago, I think around E3, he rode a plane back to probably Minnesota, where he was living at the time, and on the plane next to him was the voice actor who did the voice for Bubsy. I can't remember her name.
She's a well-known, successful, talented voice actor.
Yes, yes. I cannot recall.
It is not her fault.
No. And I guess he like made that connection. And so actually during Blight Club, Dan had reached out to her and got her to record like a bunch of lines doing that voice again. But like
amazing.
like dragging Jeff for his poor performance in the game and stuff like that. And so Dan would like pipe those in every now and then during gameplay. Just brilliant chef's kiss. That's just a fun Bubsy 3D story. Way more fun than the actual game. Everybody fucking hates this game.
Yes.
Everybody
hates it.
It should stay on
the list. For now. I can't imagine this doesn't make the top three.
I can't imagine either. But something that might dethrone it. The next one, Sonic 3D Blast. Developed by Traveler's Tales, published by Sega. A Metacritic of 6.1 out of 10. That's 40 user reviews. There are no critic reviews on Metacritic, only user reviews. And then a 6 out of 10 on IGN. Sonic 3D Blast, I played it on the Genesis. There were a couple different versions, like one for the Saturn and I think one for Windows. It is, like, if you know Kirby's Dream Course, it's that true isometric, like Q-Bert, the original Q-Bert. Mm-hmm. It's like a true isometric view where I feel like a lot of the times nowadays we say isometric even if it's flat to one of the planes and it's just like at a 45. Okay. True isometric is at a 45 to all three planes, XYZ.
Right.
And it's like a technical drawing term for perspective. This is a true isometric game. I think everybody can picture what I'm talking about now.
Yeah, to elucidate that in a different way, like the camera follows you at different angles. It's not just like, it's not one single perspective the entire game. Am I saying that right?
No, it is. It's that fixed 45 perspective.
But I mean, but as you move.
As you move, the environment is panning.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Not like Q-Bert where you see the whole level kind of a thing.
Right.
The camera, you're not seeing the whole level. The window is panning and the level is panning by you. But the perspective is isometric. Which, you guessed it, is really bad for a Sonic game where the character's supposed to go fast. It's also like doing all this rendering and stuff that makes the frame rate really terrible, at least on the Genesis. I found the isometric perspective, it was way zoomed in, probably for performance reasons, and the levels are sprawling. You know, in the way that Sonic levels tend to be, you have all these like jump spring pads and all this crazy shit. You're going everywhere. The levels, Sonic levels tend to be really big. These levels were also really big, but it was just impossible to get a sense of where you were because of the perspective. And there are like some light puzzles and stuff, like environmental puzzle-y kind of things. It's a game where you cannot possibly build any kind of momentum just because of the performance of it and the zoomed in nature of the camera and the way the levels are laid out. It was just bad on all fronts. It's like, it's the worst possible Sonic game you could attempt to make. Yeah. Sonic 3D Blast is a real piece of shit.
And I hate the name. What does Blast have to do with it?
I don't remember. Let me... Is there, like... Journey to Save the Flickies. Birds enslaved by Dr. Robotnik called the Flickies.
Well, there you go. Sonic 3D Flickies.
Yeah.
That's what it should have been.
I don't get the Blast thing.
Yeah, alternate dimension. Yeah, I don't know what Blast means. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's annoying. It feels like a random word that they just put at the end.
Blast! It's what my ass 90s. Does after eating chili dogs.
Yep.
So that's Sonic 3D Blast. I feel strongly that that should also remain on the list.
Okay.
Because not only is it Sonic, which should be bad enough, but it's like the worst Sonic. It's so bad. I'm sure people like disagree,
every Sonic game could end up on a worst games list.
Yes, totally. After Sonic, we have a little video game that some people may know from the memes, and that's Chex Quest. This was developed by Digital Cafe and published by General Mills. You know, the video game publisher. I mean, the people who make cereal? This is a Doom game where they literally took, like, I believe they literally took, like, code from Doom and, like, I believe there are, like, levels from Doom that are kind of also just in Chex Quest that are skinned differently. It was a promotional marketing strategy by the company that actually worked very well for them. I guess they had been seeing like declining sales in their cereal brands and stuff, and they put this thing out as like, you know, target the kids, like this young hip, we're gonna get the kids playing a video game about our Chex mascot. And apparently it worked because they had like record sales for like a year or two, which is baffling. But this has a Metacritic of 2.5 out of 5. Or, I'm sorry, not a Metacritic. There is no Metacritic. There are no user reviews for Chex Quest. I had to plumb the internet to find some reviews of this. I found a review. This is the one. I found a review on Amazon.com for a copy of Chex Quest. It gave it an average rating across like 40 reviews or something of 2.5 out of 5.
That's not that bad compared to some of these.
Compared to some of these, it's not that bad. But again, I think people have fond memories of it because it's so stupid. It is a shit video game.
Yeah, like, it's a meme. It's a meme game.
It's a meme game. Yeah, before memes were a thing.
Yeah.
It saw enough success that they made two sequels that were like, it's a free marketing thing. You don't have to pay for this. Like, there are two sequels, Chex Quest 2 and 3, that I believe were also free. They have Chex Quest HD, where they went back in and, like, gave the original game, like, more 3D graphics, and that's on Steam for free if you want to play that.
That's crazy.
But again, don't play it because it's a terrible video game. It's just funny and dumb. But that's a thing that happened in 1996. And I kind of, for as bad as this, bad of a game, video game experience as this is, I do wish game publishers, I do wish other brands would attempt to make video games. Like, it worked for Burger King, the Sneak King stuff, right?
Right. And like, brands that there's no reason for them to be making a game.
Totally.
Like, just rant. Like, we need, like, a Dolce & Gabbana video game.
Yeah.
Like, just the most random brands. With some, like, perfume maker. We need, like, a El Couture, the new perfume by Chudelie, the game. Where, like, you play as one of those six-pack models in the perfume ad. Like,
yeah.
Actually, like, a lot of the stuff that happens in perfume ads would make for a dope video game.
No, but it's a reskin of Doom 2016.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's
You're doing viscerals on competing perfume company models.
I saw one that was like this man wearing a leopard banana hammock. And he, like, pulls a bow and arrow
out of
a stone and shoots an arrow into the sun. Like, I was like, hell yeah, man.
It's like, I would
play that game.
That's just Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Chex Quest. It seems horrible, but, like, fun.
Right, yeah. And so the fact that it is fun and funny, I don't know that it's going to hang with the other ones.
Maybe.
So I'm comfortable getting rid of Chex Quest for now because we already.
I would keep it.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Okay. I know this is only our fourth game and we have kept all of them so far. Looking at the rest of this list, I feel like most of this rest of this list isn't going to compare.
Okay.
To me, Chex Quest, in how insane it is and also bad, like,
yeah,
I would keep it for now.
Okay.
A game I do think we can probably cut is Cruisin' USA, the N64 port. So this came out in arcades. I think it was like 94, maybe.
Yeah, one of the most popular arcade games.
Yeah, fun, super fun arcade game. I don't know that I would say it's a great racing game, but most of those kind of like Dave & Buster's style arcade games aren't great. But they ported the game to N64 because it had been so popular, published by Midway. This has a game rankings average of 50.63. IGN gave it a 4. Nintendo Life, the like dedicated Nintendo review magazine, gave it a 3 out of 10.
Oof.
And that's mostly because the port is bad.
Right.
So the frame rate was really, really terrible. Like, the graphics are worse than the arcade version, which is understandable. It's a home console. But even with that in mind, the frame rate was extremely bad and inconsistent. The collision detection, which is pretty important in a racing game like this where you're bumping and grinding on other cars,
right,
was really bad and inconsistent. And so it just was like, it was just a really bad port. I definitely think that this port is one of the worst made things on this list. But in the grand scheme, knowing that it's just a shitty port of a fun arcade game, I wouldn't push for it,
okay,
personally.
I think that makes sense. Because, like, Cruisin' USA as a video game is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and we've talked about bad ports with other things before, but given, you know, we just talked about four games that I would absolutely push for all four of those games over Cruisin' USA. So okay. I feel like it's not worth keeping.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Another game I think is just worth mentioning and then cutting, Beyond the Beyond. So I have not played this game. I only added it because it's one of the worst aggregate review games of 1996.
Yeah,
so
this I looked at this after you added it. I kind of want to play it.
It seems like a pretty standard JRPG.
Yeah.
So this was developed by Camelot Software Planning, which is a Japanese developer. It was published by Sony for the PS1. Game Rankings has this at a 44.38, which is extremely bad.
That's worse than the really bad Cruisin' USA port.
Yeah, like that's like, well, like I said, that's one of the lowest.
It is the lowest so far.
So it was worth bringing up for that reason. But as I was looking at it, it just looked like a, it didn't look anything out of the ordinary from mid-90s RPGs. The biggest complaints about the game were just that it's extremely long and tedious and boring because it's extremely long. Yeah. And so it's just not a fun video game. I don't think it's not exceptionally broken. There's nothing stupid about it in a Chex Quest or Bubsy 3D kind of way. It's just a boring, long JRPG, which that doesn't sound fun to me, but it's one, we haven't played it, and two, it doesn't look like, at least from, you know, watching some videos and stuff, It doesn't look like it's extremely bad.
No,
but
it seems like people were maybe overly critical of it because of its proximity to other really great JRPGs.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible. Like, there was a disappointment factor maybe in a JRPG like this coming out, because this was still, you know, pretty early on in the JRPG universe.
Yeah.
So, Beyond the Beyond. I don't know, dude. Maybe actually check that one out. Who knows?
Maybe
it doesn't suck.
I did read on the Wikipedia that there was, in a very Super Mario RPG-like fashion, which is another video game that I believe came out in 1996, when you attack and defend, you have the opportunity to hit a button like at the correct time and like do more damage or take less damage kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so like a little more active turn-based, yeah, which
that sounds
neat.
Great, man.
Yeah, like
that's
that
one of the things
cool.
We loved about Sea of Stars, bro.
Right? Yeah, maybe Beyond the Beyond. It's Sea of Stars before Sea of Stars.
Hell, dude, we should play Beyond the Beyond, and maybe we'll like it, so we can include it in the games that don't suck. Next
yeah,
month.
See, let's form a narrative around Beyond the Beyond.
But a 44 out of 100 aggregate score—that
worries
me. That's pretty bad.
me a bit. Yeah. well, moving beyond the beyond, Pandemonium! Exclamation point. This is a title developed by Toys for Bob, published by Crystal Dynamics. This one has one of the better reviews of the games on here. It's a Metacritic of 7.5 with 22 user reviews. That's really kind of the only review metric I could pull for it. It's a 2.5D platformer in the early PlayStation era, where like the big push for 3D, but clearly they didn't trust themselves to just make a 3D platformer, which I think is fair. And so everything is rendered in 3D, but you're proceeding through the levels on a 2D plane. So for example, like if you're going up a tree, you'd be like spiraling on a 2D plane around the trunk on platforms kind of a thing. Like it's that kind of 2.5D. It's all 3D, but the environments and the characters look fucking horrible. It's just nonsense. I mean, it's Pandemonium. It's like they took the name of the, it's like they made the name of the game after they just threw in every art asset and idea they could possibly have. They're like, this is crazy. It's insane. It makes no sense. What should we call it? Pandemonium. Instead of like, let's make a cohesive thing that makes sense.
It's not false advertising. I'll give them that.
Yes, you can give them that and then promptly take it away. Has bad music, bad art. The platforming is floaty and frustrating. There are like secrets in the levels, but they were always like really easy to find. They didn't really feel like you could just get them by playing the level normally and not really know that they were intended to be secrets. everything's really bad. It's just a terrible video game. Like two playable characters. One of them is like Harley Quinn adjacent.
Yeah.
Like a jester, and the other one is like, I don't know, like a pinstripe cyberpunk chick. I don't know. It's weird. That game is weird and bad.
I'm looking at screens, and this is not specific to Pandemonium, because I looked at a lot of screens for a lot of these games prepping for this. The early days of 3D games, not great.
It was rough, man.
Like, this game looks like fucking trash, dude. Like, this game looks so, so bad. And so many early 3D games look so, so bad.
Yeah, it... Ugh.
And our minds were blown at the time.
Totally.
Like, this looks unplayably bad.
I remember playing it at the time, probably not in 96, probably slightly later, but I remember playing it and being like, this does not feel good. And that's coming from a kid who was playing, like, Tomba and shit. Mm-hmm. And to go from Tomba, go to Pandemonium and say, this game's bad, it must be really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pandemonium sucks. Sorry, Toys for Bob. Also massive, yes. RIP to Toys for Bob.
For what it's worth, Game Rankings has this at a 70.5, so it's a little lower than the user reviews.
Yeah. I don't know that that's one that I really want to like fight for, but I feel like it can stay for now.
I would agree with that. That makes sense.
I want to see what else remains and then figure how it should stack up after that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Okay, next on the list is the Casper game. So we're specifically talking about the Super NES version. They released a Casper game on like a bunch of different platforms.
Yeah,
including
it was on
PC.
Like everything. There were a bunch of different versions.
Different versions of the game is so it's it was
this happened a lot
looking
back.
Back.
Then. Like, yes, absolutely. Like there would be, and I think we talked like the Batman game from 1995 that we talked about. It had different versions.
Yep.
Like some that had wildly different levels, different structure, like different gameplay mechanics, even. But would be sold under the same name. Casper's kind of the same deal.
Yeah, so this game was developed by Absolute Entertainment and published by Natsume Inc. Game Rankings score of 59.19 average. Basically, this game is escort mission plus ghosts. And that in and of itself sucks. I mean, so like the story, it follows the movie because it's a movie tie-in game. But the entire gameplay is you play as Casper escorting the girl from the movie Cat throughout the events of the movie, and you can sort of
not the girl
like,
from the movie Cats.
No, not the
girl
from the movie
Cat
Cats.
From the movie
Cat
with
Harvey.
A K. Yeah.
Yes. You kind of absorb items in the world to use them against the unfriendly ghosts that are trying to get Cat. And the most frustrating part of it is like if you get too far away from her, you lose and the bad guy ghosts
awesome.
Get her. And so it just, yes, like making an escort mission an entire game, just a bad idea.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this game was just incredibly unfun. I liked the movie a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
And this game did not capture the feel-good feelings of Casper the Friendly Ghost.
It didn't Casper the good feelings.
It definitely scared me away. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
Frighteningly
bad.
Yes, I say boo Casper the video game on SNES. I don't know. I'm in between on this one. When I look at the rest of the list, I think it probably won't make it.
So you would say you're in between like life and death on this one.
Yeah, I'm sort of in purgatory on Casper. Okay. That would have been a funnier way of making that joke, Kyle. Just if you want to write that down for next time if it comes up.
Yeah, purgatory is like a very.
Do you want to do another charged. Take? Do you want to cut and do another take? Of, you can say it that way.
What else did you want to say about the bad SNES version of Casper?
No, that's it.
Okay, good.
So we could probably cut it.
Yeah,
given,
yeah.
Given other
so.
Ones on this list.
Yeah. I'm putting it in the signifying red text.
It personally a disappointing game. That,
for
that's
sure.
Why it stands out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because yeah, you're right. I loved that movie. It was a great time. Vector Man 2 on the Sega Genesis, developed by Blue Sky Software, published by Sega. I think we're discovering a running theme with my issues with Sega titles. This one actually has a Metacritic of 81.8, which, so in the grand cosmos of reviews throughout the pantheon of time since it released, people like Vector Man 2, which is crazy. Because Vector Man 2 is so much worse than Vector Man 1.
Yes.
And it's primarily because of the art.
Yes.
Every level is so dark. The contrast is, like, totally blown out. It's hard to tell where you are. The levels are kind of sprawling. I found them to be laid out in a way that made them feel much larger than the first game.
Like tons of verticality.
Yes. Yeah. And like really, and because a lot of the maps are indistinguishable blotches of color, it becomes very easy to get lost. And I just remember as a kid playing it and like not being able to beat the first level because I couldn't figure out where to go because everything looked the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was a huge disappointment because I loved the first Vector Man so much. Which
it
is,
made our top five.
It made the top five.
In games that don't suck.
Yeah, because I
love it
so
much.
Listen
to that podcast to see me get worn down over time.
That's
and
right.
Finally acquiescing and letting that game make the list.
That's right.
Not that I hate Vector Man 1. It just, it's not that amazing.
It was my plan all along.
Yeah, I'm much like I don't think Vector Man 1 is as good as you. I don't think Vector Man 2 is as bad as you. I definitely think it's worse than the first.
Yeah.
I liked the first game and I did not like the second game. I don't personally think that it's one of the worst games from 1996.
I think you're right.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you're super passionate about it, we can keep talking about it once we get to the short list, but it sounds like maybe you're not even there.
No, I'm just like, I'm sad because I have always wanted another good Vector Man game. And
sure.
Much like Andromeda killed Mass Effect, I believe Vector Man 2 killed Vector Man. But yeah, we can put that in the signifying red text to cut.
Okay.
Tell me about this next one.
I believe I can fly.
Basketball
not
Jones.
Not like the Space Jam video game for PlayStation 1 and Sega Saturn. So this was developed by Sculptured Software and published by Acclaim. This is another extremely low game ranking score at 44.84. Which I believe is the second lowest scored game on our entire list.
Yeah, by mere decimals.
Here's what you need to know about the Space Jam video game. It's just a basketball game. It's NBA Jam, but terrible. NBA Jam came out in 1993. It's one of the best games ever made. It's fucking awesome. They nailed it from the jump. And Space Jam learned nothing from that game. Ironically... the Monstars, who you play against in this game, are terrible at basketball.
Oh, great.
I guess because, like, I don't know, the AI, but the, what phrase am I trying to come up with? Like, the way they programmed the bad guys.
Yeah, the artificial intelligence, yeah.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not, they suck. And Michael Jordan, much like in real life, in the Space Jam game, is crazy overpowered. And so the game is just super easy mode. So this just felt... I don't know that this is the case. Unlike Phantasmagoria 2, which was like clearly a rushed cash-in. I don't know that this was a rushed cash-in, but it's definitely a cash-in. Yeah, I just think, you know, again, Space Jam was like literally my favorite movie as a kid. I was obsessed
Dude, so
with
good.
Space Jam.
I didn't even
I still
like sports
am.
And I loved it.
I watched Space Jam a couple of months ago with my kids and had the best time
Hell yeah.
watching it. Space Jam rules.
Basketball
this game
Jones,
does
oh
not.
Baby. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
So, like, comparing it to Casper, which is similar, right? Like, Casper, I loved. The game was really disappointing. Space Jam, I loved way more than Casper. And hate the game way more than I hated the Casper game.
Sure. Yeah.
So, to me, I would love to keep this.
Okay.
I think it's annoying. Because this it should have been so easy. Like, all they needed to do was make NBA Jam with Looney Tunes and Monstars. Like, that's literally all they needed to do. And they didn't. And that is, like, that would have been the easiest slam dunk. Do you know what I'm saying, Kyle? Like, do
no,
you know?
What's that? Is that, like, a baseball term?
We're just flowing with the, like, the puns about these games. But let me, so I think we keep Space Jam for now. And then oh shit, it won't work. I was going to say, let me pass it over to you, but I can't because I'm talking about the last game on the list too. So I'll fake the pass.
Okay.
And then I'll pull a nice, a nice fadeaway jumper for our final game on the list, which
like
is Cyber Dillo.
The jumper, like the outfit?
You're ruining it. You're ruining it.
Okay. Sorry.
So the last game on the list is Cyber Dillo. This is a game I had never heard of.
Hey, listeners at home, mm-hmm. Who do you think the main character is in Cyber Dillo?
If your guess is that you play as an armadillo that got run over by a car and got made into a cyborg that wields a gun that shoots plungers, then you were correct.
Oh, wow, so many people are excited. They got it right.
So this game came out on 3DO and MS-DOS on PC. It was developed by Pixel Technologies, published by Panasonic. And this game doesn't have a Metacritic. It doesn't have a game ranking score. It doesn't have any reviews that I could find by large
publishers. I find it
hard
to believe that it exists, except for the fact that you found gameplay of it and sent it to me.
Oh, yes. Like, holy shit, this game.
It's so bad. This,
just like many games of this era, much like Chex Quest, this is a Doom-like. It is, you know, first-person shooter, sort of like tile-based, where you're moving very statically and robotically through, you know, this cramped corridor. But you absolutely please, because I cannot successfully describe to you what this looks like. Just go look up Cyber Dillo gameplay on YouTube, and there's a great, it's like a 20-minute gameplay video.
It's like someone took the clip art archive of pictures and stretched them all into textures and just picked surfaces for them to go onto.
Not even clip art of pictures, because that implies like a broad range of,
true,
it could be any
but
kind
also
of picture.
Like patterns.
It
like spirals.
Yes, it looks like everything is neon vomit.
Yeah.
Like all of the, and again, like each of the tiles is, you know, X amount of pixels wide. And so it's just repeated tiles over and over and over again, where like in a game like Doom, it makes sense because it's their walls.
It's a hallway.
It's a hallway with walls. And so they're repeating the wall texture or the door texture. And in this, it just looks like an acid trip of repeated static neon vomit images over and over and over again, including the ceiling and the floor.
Yes.
Not just the walls. Yeah. And they're not the same. Like, the floor will be a pink and white sort of swirly effect, and on the wall is a neon green and neon blue X's across, and like the ceiling is like black with bright yellow polka dots. Like, it looks like something my 2-year-old would pick if he's picking random colorful images online.
Question for you, Shay.
Uh-huh.
If you think cyber armadillo with a gun that shoots plungers, right? What era of fashion do you typically associate with those things?
Oh, yeah. So it's either going to be some sort of like actual futuristic thing, right?
Yeah.
Like where it's far flung future, or it's some like, you know, 80s inspired Blade Runner retro futurism with really like run down, broken things, lots of blacks and leather. So it's got to be one of those two things, right?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You see, My first thought was the 70s psychedelic bell-bottom jeans and platform shoes and hairspray cans.
You know what? That would have been my third thought. I just didn't get there.
All right.
But yeah, in this game, it is the music included is very 70s, which maybe you got from the psychedelic imagery of the game. But in the game, in order to progress through each level, you collect items. And those items are not... you know,
ammo for your gun,
chip cards, or
batteries.
You know, some sort of futuristic mech brain. And the fact that you're using a plunger gun, you're not collecting like a toilet or maybe some like toilet soap. No, you're collecting like bell bottom jeans and platform shoes and like a wig. Like those are the items that you're collecting to beat.
One of the
level.
Enemies is a giant pink hairspray can.
It just doesn't make sense. It's
insane.
It's like someone was on a 2-year-long acid trip for the entire development of this game. Again, the only thing that I'll say in its defense on this list is, one, we haven't played it. It clearly is not a large-scale game like many of the games we've talked about. It is also, in a Chex Quest viewpoint, kind of fun in how terrible it is.
Sure.
I would say, looking at gameplay for Chex Quest and Cyberdillo looks much worse, which is saying something.
Cyberdillo being on this list is the main reason why I was thinking about cutting Chex Quest.
yeah,
because
in a head-to-head.
I think we can retroactively... really quickly just color Chex Quest red, because Cyberdillo eats its shitty lunch.
Yeah, that's probably true. Definitely compared to Chex Quest, yes. I was in my mind of like, could both of them make a top three? And probably not.
Yeah,
with everything else we've got here.
With everything else, we wouldn't want to have two bad Doom likes in the top three. That would be...
especially when both of them are like, when both of them are sort of like kitschy games anyway.
Right.
That's the list. So we cut Chex Quest. So what do we have left?
So we have Phantasmagoria, A Puzzle of Flesh, Bubsy 3D, Sonic 3D Blast, Pandemonium! ! Space Jam, and Cyberdillo.
Yeah, all those are really bad.
Yeah, so 6 games that we have to narrow down to 3. So half of these games got to go.
I will even go one step farther. I'm going to highlight Bubsy 3D because it has to make the top 3.
Please.
So we've got 5 games fighting for 2 spots. I think with this context, we can safely cut Pandemonium because you almost were there already, unless you have changed your mind there.
No, I believe that's good. I have a second one to cut as well.
Okay.
I believe that we gave Phantasmagoria its due last time and like kind of sung its negative, whatever its negatives. and the first one didn't make the cut last time. This one like came out a year later and it was so much worse than the first one.
Right.
I guess there is more.
It's definitely worse than the first game. So the first game almost made the list. The second game is worse than the first game. It's also, I would argue, a weaker overall, like it's got less competition outside of Bubsy 3D.
Right.
However, I didn't play it, so I don't have the personal passion for A Puzzle of Flesh compared to the first game.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Sonic 3D Blast, because that's the only... we've got Space Jam, we got Cyberdillo. I am a big fan of both of those games making the top three, so talk to me about Sonic 3D Blast.
It's like in a world where maybe there's a good Sonic game out there somewhere, maybe in some other universe,
right?
But we're unfortunately stuck in this fucking universe where a good Sonic game cannot exist. And Sonic 3D Blast is, in my mind, the worst Sonic game I've ever played. I've played quite a few. I mean, look, Sonic,
there are a lot of Sonic games you have not played.
There are a lot of Sonic games I have not played. I know how bad, oh God, what is it? Like Sonic 2006? Is that the one? Is it Sonic?
Dude, I don't know. Eight Sonic games come out every year. I don't know how you expect me to know the differences.
Is it Sonic? Yes, Sonic 06. I know how bad that video game is. I am telling you, Sonic 3D Blast is the worst one. It's just not. Because at least in most other Sonic games, you can't attain a feeling of speed. Like, however short-lived it may be, because Sonic is bad, you can attain a sense of speed, and that can be satisfying. In Sonic 3D Blast, you cannot attain a sense of speed because the game does not allow for it. And it's like, that's the one thing this character does. He gotta go fast, bro. And he can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Then I think we can safely cut Phantasmagoria.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is a bummer, because fuck that game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now, Bubsy 3D is a lock. We have Sonic 3D Blast, Space Jam, and Cyber Dillo. One of these does need to go.
One of them needs to go.
Talk to me more about, like, I guess I need to be sold a little more on why Space Jam belongs. I understand it's a big personal disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Like, that can be a good, valid reason. I've certainly used it my fair share of times. Is, like, aside from it being a bad version of an NBA Jam game and you being disappointed because you love the movie so much, is there anything else?
No. And I think that, like, in a vacuum, that is enough to even taking out the personal disappointment part of it. Just how easy this should have been to make a fun game.
Right.
Like, it should have been so easy, and they couldn't. They just made a really bad, overly simplified, unbalanced 2D basketball game. Like, that's bad to do all of those things. However, given how you're talking about Sonic 3D Blast, and boy, I would love to see Cyberdillo make this list. Like, I would vote for Cyberdillo over Space Jam, which kind of sucks.
I would vote for Cyberdillo over Sonic 3D Blast.
But, like, Cyberdillo is kind of like the Wild Woody of this year. Like, totally. It's not offensive, but holy shit, it's totally baffling.
Yeah. Well, look, so I didn't play it, so we don't know if it's not offensive or not.
That is very fair. But yeah, I think we're okay to let go of Space Jam and have the final three be Bubsy 3D, Sonic 3D Blast, and Cyberdillo. That feels good to me.
Okay.
So funny that, like, we've got 3D in the name of, like, that was such a huge selling 3Ds. Point of these games.
Yeah, well, you know, when you lean on a gimmick.
And ironically, Bubsy 3D is, like, the least 3D of any of these games. Oh,
God.
Like, it's barely 3D.
I mean, yeah, technically Sonic 3D Blast is also not really 3D. I think it's
That's what I mean. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, you said Bubsy.
Oh, sorry. Bubsy is definitely 3D.
Yes.
Sonic 3D Blast is barely 3D as well.
Right. They're doing that, I believe they're using that technique. Oh, what is that? They use it in, like, to do the background scrolling in, I think, Star Fox. Oh, parallaxing? Is that what that's called? Yeah, I believe
that's a term, yes. Stuff. I don't know if that's the right term.
Yeah, but I think it's something like that. Some 3D simulation stuff. Yeah, boy, three really bad games. What order do they go in?
Bubsy 3D is number one.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to beat around the bush.
I mean, yeah, right?
It's not just, like, a really bad game. It's one of the worst games ever made.
Yeah.
And it truly, truly is. Like, that's not just, that isn't just a marketing gimmick. It earns that.
I have not played it, but I have watched the entire thing.
I have not. I never beat it, but I did play it. Okay. And it fucking sucks.
I can, like, through watching it, there are just some games you can watch and you know, because you've played other games similar, you know how they feel. Mm. You know how bad it feels. just from watching it. So I'm right there with you. So the number 2 and 3 slot, we have to decide where Sonic 3D Blast and Cyber Dillo go. And I think I had just said I think I would take Cyber Dillo in the 2 spot above Sonic 3D Blast. And I'm thinking about that. I think Sonic 3D Blast at least looks fine.
It does.
It looks like a Sonic game. You can tell it's a Sonic game, not just because of the blue guy on the screen, but because of the world and the art. And there's a cohesion there. I don't remember anything about the music, but the music's probably fine because Sonic music tends to be fine. Nothing about Cyber Dillo was really redeeming in any way.
I beg you, listeners, please go look up Cyber Dillo gameplay. You will not believe it. It is only a highlight of how no one knows what this game is that Cyber Dillo is not considered one of the worst games ever made.
I think you're right.
Because look, I'm not saying Cyber Dillo would win over Bubsy 3D because I haven't played it. If I had played Cyber Dillo and the experience was what it looks like the experience would be, I would say Cyber Dillo is worse than Bubsy 3D. I think you make sound arguments for Cyber Dillo being at 2 over Sonic 3D Blast. The only thing that I would say is, like, you have a very specific, passionate distaste for Sonic 3D Blast, and neither of us played Cyber Dillo. It's kind of like the kitschy nephew on this list, and so that makes it feel like it should be number 3, but I don't really have a horse in this race. Like, you are the one with the passion for Sonic.
Well, the passion
for anti-Sonic.
Yeah, there we go.
So I'll leave that up to you. If you want to dishonor that game further by putting it at 2, or you want to acknowledge that it isn't incoherent in the way that these other 2 games are and put it at 3.
It's just not. I think Cyber Dillo looks so much worse than Sonic 3D Blast is.
Cyber Dillo looks worse than any other game we've talked about today.
Yeah, I think so too. But because we haven't played it, it literally cannot be our number 1.
Yeah, it can't be our number 1.
Okay, so let's do... It sounds to me like Cyber Dillo is our number 2 and Sonic 3D Blast is our number 3.
I'm good with that.
I'm typing it in. It is cemented into the annals of history.
It's so funny how we started, not even started the episode, but like legitimately as we were looking this stuff up, like I texted you and I was like, I'm having trouble coming up with a lot of games that like I'm passionate about that are bad. And I feel like we got there.
We found them. We found them, man. You like, dig deep was, enough, was, you find them.
It was Bubsy, it was Phantasmagoria, and it was Space Jam. Like, those were the 3 that I immediately thought of. I thought of Casper as well, but I was like, I don't hate that game as much as I hated those other 3. But that was it. Those 4 games were the only ones that I was like, these are the ones we got to talk about. Yeah, so I'm glad that you had some other... fucking stinkers, man.
Some stinky stinkers. Yeah, I was definitely there on Bubsy. Sonic 3D Blast, as soon as I read that name, I like had a nom flashback.
Audibly groaned.
Yeah. Chex Quest, of course. Pandemonium. Yes. Vector Man 2, of course, I feel passionate about, but given everything, given the Cyber Dillos of the world, Vector Man 2 simply cannot stay. Yeah, whoo boy. So are the worst 3 games, the games that suck the most of 1996, in the 3rd slot, Sonic 3D Blast. Congratulations, Sonic, representing your IP poorly as always.
Our yearly Sonic entry.
Our yearly
on
Sonic
this
entry
list.
On the list. coming in the number 2 slot, Cyber Dillo, the game that no one's heard of. And apparently has not reviewed. Please go look at gameplay, but please don't actually play it.
Don't watch it for more than like a minute or 2. You will get nauseous.
Yeah, yeah. And you won't be able to sleep. And then the game that sucks the most, the number one slot, a surprise to no one, Bubsy 3D.
Like, look, I'm not going to endgame this. I'm not saying that Super Mario 64 will win our games that don't suck. It will certainly be a strong contender. It would be very funny if Bubsy 3D was our worst game and Super Mario 64 was our best game. That would feel like, not like we're not going out on a limb here, right? Like, it's not like we're like being brave and saying that one of these games is incredible and one is really bad. It would just be funny because of how linked they were even when they came out. And it just that helps illustrate how bad Bubsy 3D is.
Yeah.
To not just be compared disfavorably. Is that a word? Unfavorably to Super Mario 64, but in the shadow of a giant, the game cannot hide in the shadow of a giant.
Yeah,
it stands out like the wall art in Cyberdillo as sure one of the worst does. Games ever made.
oh man, that was
there. You go.
For as good as 1996 is in video games, there are always the bad actors in society that seek to set it all aflame.
Oh, yeah. And we will find them.
We will find you. and we will laugh about you on this podcast. Thanks. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Shay, thank you for coming along with me on this journey.
Yeah.
Let us know what your least favorite games from 1996 are. Did we miss one? Because we looked through that list. We combed. We did our research. But let us know if we missed one, or if we have done grievous injury to your favorite game of all time, Bubsy 3D. You can email us at info@shayhateseverything.com. That is info@shayhateseverything.com. And you can find the Shay Hates Everything podcast wherever you engage with your podcast. So be sure to subscribe, leave a rating or a review, tell your friends. We need more emails, more user engagement, baby.
And, yeah, if you like Sonic 3D Blast, shoot us an email to info@shayhateseverything.com. We will read it on the flagship podcast, which releases on the first Monday of each month.
And we block will laugh your email you. Address yeah, so we can never hear from you again.
Yeah.
A quick programming note before we end stuff here. In 2 weeks, let's see, what's that going to be? First Monday of March will be the 4th of March. The next episode of our flagship podcast. And then 2 weeks after that, March 18th, will be Games That Don't Suck 1996, which we have been alluding to this entire time. So don't miss that. The Games That Don't Suck, we talk about the top five games of the year. So that one can end up being a little bit lengthier.
That one's
going to
be a banger.
It's going to be
a lot of good games. Yeah.
So don't miss it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Let's get out of here. Have a fantastic rest of your week, your listening week. Hopefully you didn't crash your car listening to us talk about Cyberdillo on your way into work.
Wait, yes. Wait until you get home to look up Cyberdillo. Come on. Be responsible.
That's right. All right, everybody. Peace out.